It's 12:57 in the morning, and the 2019 Oscars are over.
That's right. Green Book is your best picture, and Bohemian Rhapsody and Roma took a bunch of the top prizes, too. It all got done in a hostless ceremony.
And on this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, we are breaking it all down. The winners, the speeches, the songs, why we're mad, and why we're glad. So come right back.
This message comes from NPR's sponsor, Zoom Video Communications. Video conferencing has changed the way we do business. Meet happy anytime, anywhere with Zoom, connecting team members across the globe. Imagine seeing up to 49 people on the screen at once in digital video. Share anything, a file, a video, a photo, via desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today and meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. Zoom.us.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
Good to see you here so late.
Mm-hmm.
So, Oscars. Look, I'm going to tell you, the minute that this telecast was over, I started seeing tweets from people who said, I can't wait to see what you guys think. Green Book won Best Picture. If you don't listen to the show, you may not know this, but we have not been big fans of Green Book.
No.
Green Book also won for its screenplay.
For Best Original Screenplay. Anyway.
Original Screenplay.
That's the one that... Yeah.
So I was left somewhat puzzled by that, I will admit. Left a little bit puzzled. And also won for Mahershala Ali for Best Supporting Actor. And look... I love Mahershala Ali.
And he's very good in Green Book.
And right. I am pretending he won for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which, by the way, won Best Animated Feature, which is great because it was the best one and
yes.
the most inventive one, which I thought was really fantastic.
That's the one that I'm holding on to with a white-knuckle grip. That's what
yeah.
That's what I'm going to take
right.
away from this.
There's
office.
Other good news. We'll get
there
to
is.
It.
Sure. So people wanted to know how we felt about Green Book winning Best Picture. Mm. How did you guys feel about that?
Into every generation, Crash wins Best Picture, mm-hmm. and I think this is a redux of
yeah.
that. We're going to look back on this and think, well, I'm looking back on it now, a few yeah. minutes later, and thinking, nope, that was wrong. As you mentioned in your review on NPR.org, Linda, it is not going to age well.
No.
This is a film that's its sell-by date is passed already, and it's just going to look worse and worse as the
yeah.
years go by.
Yeah, that sell-by date is 1988,
yeah.
and I do think that you may see in the coming months a discussion of who is voting for these. I really think a discussion of who gets to vote for the Academy Awards is going to come into play of how a movie that when it was nominated had not really connected with audiences or critics that really seemed to have no constituency, how a well-run Oscar campaign and a very old-fashioned voting body came together to create a Best Picture winner that is deeply, deeply unsatisfying for a broad swath of people.
Yeah. So we had Green Book up at the top winning those awards. You also had Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, if you don't listen to the show, you might not know this, but we've not been big fans of Bohemian Rhapsody
nope.
On this show. It won for a couple of sound awards, and then it also won for Rami Malek and
film editing.
And film editing. Yeah. A thing for which it has been ridiculed on the internet, which is very unusual. So how do we feel about Bohemian Rhapsody? Which, by the way, a whole bunch of awards get given out. Everybody gives their speeches, including Best Actor. And nobody mentions Bryan Singer, credited director, who apparently let go partway through filming and allegedly not related, so who knows, has also been accused of various kinds of sexual misconduct. So nobody wants to talk about him. So nobody mentions it. So it sounds like the film has no director.
Yeah, I was going to say the Academy Award for Best Gymnastics
yeah.
was four different Oscar winners finding a way to not acknowledge the existence of the director of this film.
The editing one is one that stood out to me because at first it's like, well, this is a poorly edited film. And then the more I thought about it, the more you realize, okay, so that editor is in that editing room by himself. There is no director looking over his shoulder. So if anybody's responsible for salvaging this film and making it at least a product that can get out into the world, it's probably that guy. So maybe the industry is just sort of, you know, saying good on you.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the four winners for Bohemian Rhapsody, all four categories are the ones in which you create the illusion of Rami Malek performing as Freddie Mercury.
Right.
And so he is lip syncing. You are creating these kind of recreating these live performances without him saying, I mean, like there is a technical feat at work there. And the thing that people love about Bohemian Rhapsody seems to largely be, man, I love those Queen songs. I love hearing those Queen songs. I love the way those Queen songs are performed in this movie. That is a feat of sound mixing, sound editing, film editing, and acting.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm just trying to justify it. I cannot justify
Green Book
winning best original screenplay, so I am grasping
and
elsewhere.
I don't want to just rehash the whole thing. I don't like either of those movies. I don't like Green Book. I didn't like Bohemian Rhapsody. Too bad for me.
Yeah.
You know, they both won big awards. I am a bigger fan of Roma, which won three big awards. It won Best Foreign Language Film. It won Best Cinematography for Alfonso Cuarón and Best Director for Alfonso Cuarón.
But it did not take home Best Picture, as I predicted. It unfolded exactly as I predicted. He gets the stuff in the early part of the day and not the big one.
I hear that. And also, there were some technical awards for my pick for Best Picture was Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some, not technical, there were kind of some creative awards for them early on, the production design.
For the visuals.
Costuming.
Costuming. The production design, the costuming, eventually later the score as well. I was hoping that those Black Panther awards might, you know, speak to some swell that was going to happen, and then it just never swelled.
Bohemian Rhapsody certainly seemed like it was on course to sweep. It won 4 out of the 5 that it was nominated for. Green Book also won 3 out of the 5 it was nominated for. You know what won 1 out of the 10 it was nominated for? Was The Favorite.
Yeah.
Just kept whiffing, kept biffing. And then finally, we get the thing that I wanted most dearly, which is Olivia Colman giving, as I predicted, a charming, sputtery, incredibly British speech.
My kids are at home and watching, look. Well, if you're not, then, well done, but I sort of hope you are. This is not going to happen again. And any little girl who's practicing their speech on the telly, you never know. And when I used to work as a cleaner, and I loved that job. I did spend quite a lot of my time imagining this. Oh, please wrap up. Right, okay.
And, you know, no tears for Glenn Close, please. She's great. She will have another swing. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad she didn't win for The Wife, because I didn't think that performance was particularly the one that she should be immortalized for.
I thought she's great in The Wife.
Yeah, I think she's great in The Wife, too.
Steely.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But the Olivia Colman speech was one of my favorite speeches among several. I think Ruth Carter winning for costuming for Black Panther. I thought both of those, Black Panther for costuming and for Hannah Beekler's production design, those were both wonderful speeches and great big moments.
I'm stronger because of my family who supported me through the roughest of times. I give the strength to all of those who come next to keep going, to never give up. And when you think it's impossible, just remember to say this piece of advice I got from a very wise woman. I did my best, and my best is good enough. Thank you.
I was delighted to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while we're talking about actresses that we're very fond of, it was expected that Regina King would win for If Beale Street Could Talk, but it was delightful nonetheless.
Yep.
I am a huge fan of her. There was a lovely moment with Chris Evans helping her up the stairs onto the stage, just to throw a little more charm at it. It has led to lots of wonderful reminiscing about the many, many good performances people have seen from Regina King over the years. So I was thrilled about that. We mentioned that Black Panther won for score as well, Ludvig Göransson's award for score. And then there's also original song.
Yeah.
And I think it was somewhat a foregone conclusion that it would be Shallow.
Somewhat,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like it was going to be Shallow.
Yeah.
And it was Shallow. And Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper came out and performed. What did you think of that performance?
Oh, sure. I mean, it was great. You know, I mean, it's what she does. It's like, you know, it's... And he was a little pitchy dog.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't think they had a vocal warm-up. That's the thing. They just kind of stepped out from the... From the seats, it seemed
like they made it look like they just stepped out of the audience. I assume they did some sort of, I feel like they must have done
then
something.
Bradley would have sounded better, probably.
I don't know. In the shallow, we're far from the
That is not a very forgiving room for vocal performances. Mm-hmm. Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, who performed When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings, they're two of my favorite performers, but they're standing in the middle of a gigantic stage and just their voices are just bouncing off of these cavernous ceilings. It is not a very forgiving room for live performance. They still sounded great. The Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, as is to be expected, got a little bit more of a production around what they were doing, and I thought it was very effective.
Yeah. And I want to talk about another speech that I was that I very, very much enjoyed, which was Spike Lee,
yes,
who has never won a competitive Oscar. He's only had an honorary Oscar, despite his long career of very accomplished career, making everything from documentaries to, of course, his very, very famous narrative films. He won Best Adapted Screenplay with a couple of other writers for Black Klansman. And you know, we talked about this while we were watching it, but, you know, Spike Lee is kind of a, you know, rebellious dude. He's a little bit of a, you know, he will give a scowl to a lot of things, a very artful scowl. And seeing him so excited about winning an Oscar, and fortunately, it was presented by, among others, Samuel L. Jackson, Brie Larson and Samuel L. Jackson. So there's this wonderful photo. You can see it on NPR.org. of Spike Lee leaping into the arms of Samuel L. Jackson because he's so excited about winning his Oscar. Yeah. And then he gave a very impassioned speech in which he talked about a lot of the issues that he cares about and how urgent he feels the politics of the moment are.
The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
Yeah, I think in some ways it felt like a career award. I don't know that. I mean, Black Klansman is not my favorite Spike Lee movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are issues with that script. I mean, there are some of the same issues with historical revisionism that there are in other movies that were nominated. But that moment of just seeing Spike Lee be that happy was delightful.
Yeah. And we should mention, because we haven't yet, that Free Solo, which is the film about the guy who climbs up El Capitan in Yosemite, a movie that we liked.
Climbs it without ropes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. That was the winner for documentary feature. But yeah, I like that film. I was happy about that. I didn't know as much about the shorts, but...
Well, I mean, there was one terrific film that you can watch on Netflix called Period, End of Sentence, which won Best Documentary Short Feature.
Mm-hmm.
And those folks were really excited, and I'm glad that we got to see them and not have them be awarded during the commercials.
Yeah.
I'm not crying because I'm on my period or anything. I can't believe a film about menstruation just won an Oscar.
Well, and let's talk, too, about some of the things that happened during the awards ceremony. What did you think of the Queen opener? It's Queen, now fronted by Adam Lambert.
I'm aware of its work.
Yeah.
I mean, people like those songs, right? I think that's what we've learned.
I mean, I think that's what people love about that movie. So, and if you're not going to have a host, I guess you start with a big musical number.
Well, and it seemed like the closest thing they had to hosts was that just after that performance, you got Maya Rudolph, Tina Fey, and Amy Poehler. And apparently Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, you know, perfectly complimented here by Maya Rudolph, are the only people who know how to host awards ceremonies anymore. But I thought they were fun, right?
We are not your hosts, but we're going to stand here a little too long so that the people who get USA Today tomorrow will think that we hosted.
The ceremony came in at 3 hours and 16 minutes, and there was all this talk going in about what they were going to try to cut to keep the ceremony short. They were going to cut performances of the songs. That fell by the wayside. They were going to shunt several of the categories into the commercials. People were furious. That went to the wayside. What they cut were the most cuttable things from the Oscars year after year after year. They cut the montages, and they cut the host doing bits about how long the Oscars are.
Right.
Yeah.
And those two things can fall by the wayside absolutely forever.
Yeah.
I think you could bring those same three women in to host every year, make the show 3 hours and 20 minutes, and that's your Oscars.
What you don't get, and I don't think it was missing per se, but what you don't necessarily have is somebody who is providing the tone, providing the energy. This was a pretty, it was perfectly fine, but it was a pretty low energy night.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have somebody in there punctuating it with anything or puncturing anything.
It just
sort of happened. And again, I'm fine with it, but I do think if there was somebody there to just periodically appear and re-energize that crowd, I think it would have gone over a bit better.
Yeah, I think my basic takeaways is I think you're going to see a discussion about how to put together an Oscars telecast in the future. I think you see a little bit of a blueprint that they may follow going forward, depending on the ratings. And I think you're going to have more of a discussion about how Green Book wound up winning Best Picture. And I think there will be some soul searching about that.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the end of our Oscar wrap-up. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We are going to go and get some rest, and we will see you all right back here on Friday.
What does it take to start something from nothing? And what does it take to actually build it? I'm Guy Raz. Every week on How I Built This, I speak with founders behind some of the most inspiring companies in the world. Find it on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.